Welcome, everybody, and thank you very much for joining me here. The name of the program is America Tonight. My name is Bob Long, filling in for Kate Delaney, who's taking some time off for some personal matters. And our best goes out to Kate, and we've got a great broadcast lined up for you. We've got a couple of important folks coming on board in this hour of the program. If you are a fan of David Letterman, and I certainly am, there's a wonderful new book, and it's a comic book that basically tells the story of David Letterman's life, and the author of that book is standing by to talk with us. Also, a little later on in this hour, we're going to be joined by another author and expert about the Pope. We have a new Pope, and we'll find out more about the person that was elected Pope just a couple of days back. Also coming up on tonight's broadcast, we've got another author with an interesting story, and her specialty is mystery novels, so we're going to be talking to her. Along the way, we're going to have some surprises as well, and we have a toll-free number that's available to you from anywhere in North America. The telephone number is 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283, and we've got Charles standing by, ready to take your calls. But right now, joining us on the line is the author of a great new book that's all about the life of David Letterman, and it's in comic book form. It's my pleasure to welcome C.W. Cook to America Tonight. C.W., how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. I love David Letterman. I've had the pleasure of seeing his show in person once. I've also been a guest, a person who had an opportunity to see the Jay Leno Tonight Show. I know Jay because I do some automotive programming here on the network. So I know both of these guys, and certainly very much enjoy the work of some of the other great folks out there, including Conan O'Brien and Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon. And, of course, going back in time, I grew up with the one and only Johnny Carson. But I would have to say of all of these talk show hosts that I have mentioned, David Letterman, for me, is my all-time favorite. Tell me a little bit about the reason why you decided to write this book, Fame, David Letterman, and do it in a comic book form.
Well, the Blue Water Comics, who publishes the Fame books, and they do Female Force, Orbit, and a bunch of other biography-style comic books. I had actually pitched to them a Conan O'Brien book right after the NBC fallout happened with Conan O'Brien.
Sure.
And having a blast writing that with a friend of mine and working on the artist is a friend of mine also. So that was just kind of a in-house project we did together for Blue Water. And after that, I suggested, or actually Darren, the publisher of Blue Water, suggested David Letterman, and I jumped at the chance because, as you said, I've been a huge fan of David Letterman my entire life also.
Yeah, I remember David Letterman's first television show. It was a late morning show in the summer of 1980. I was rather young at that time, but nevertheless, I remember it vividly. It was on, I believe, at 11 o'clock in the morning, or either 10 or 11 o'clock Eastern time, and it was so creative for its time. And, of course, I had seen David Letterman before once in a while on Johnny Carson's show. But let's go back and tell the listeners all across North America a little bit about David's background. He was born on April 12th in 1947. Tell us about his parents.
Well, unfortunately, his dad died at a very young age, so that's kind of been something that's been with David Letterman his entire life. He's, you know, when he had his heart scare, obviously that was a big deal for him because his dad died from a heart attack, and he didn't want to leave the world empty-handed of his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually talks about that in a comic book. It talks about how his parents influenced his comedy and how watching his the comedic geniuses of his time, that also influenced him and made him who he is and who we know he is now.
And growing up, David wasn't the best student, but nevertheless got into Ball State University. And again, he didn't shine there as a student, but quickly landed right after college in the broadcasting world. Tell us a little bit about David Letterman's first broadcasting job post-college.
Yeah, well, he was in radio for a little bit before he actually made it to TV. And like all good personalities, you start in radio and then you move on.
Yeah, and the one thing that I love about David Letterman is the unpredictable factor. Quite often when you look at Jay Leno, you kind of know exactly what's going to happen next. But the one thing, anytime you tune in to CBS and David Letterman, you never know what he's going to do. I mean, from, you know, antics that he might go on to the streets of New York to, you know, some crazy zany thing that might happen on the broadcast. That's an element that he brings to his comedy and his show that no other late night host does.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing I wish I had the opportunity to go back and change was when Hurricane Sandy hit and he did all those just hilarious shows with Denzel Washington. And Biff was out there watching all the weather and reporting on the weather, and I loved that, but I'd already written the script and I'd already been gone to the artist, unfortunately.
Let's talk a little bit about his relationship with Johnny Carson. He first became a guest on Johnny Carson when he was a stand-up comedian, and almost immediately Johnny took a shine to him.
Well, it's easy to do. We all know that. I mean, we've been fans of him for a long time, but yeah, Johnny was a big fan of his, and I talk about this in the comic also, even after he retired, there was always those rumors that he'd still written some jokes for Johnny, or for David, that he would then do the golf swing after, if it was one of Johnny's jokes.
Yeah, I didn't know that, and that is an absolutely fascinating bit that you've got here in this comic book. And the illustrations in the comic book, as you pointed out, were done by your co-author, and they're fantastic, and they really chronicle David's life from a young boy all the way up to today. Tell our listeners a little bit more about the format of the book.
The format, it's a 22-page comic book, so sadly, there are things that have to be left out, and that's one of the biggest tricks of writing the comic book biography of a known celebrity like David Letterman or like Conan O'Brien, and I've done Howard Stern even, is you have to mold it to fit. So there's chunks that you have to leave out. There's big things that you can't always talk about. So you try to get the large, important pieces. You get the growing up, how he started in broadcasting, and how Johnny Carson kind of took him under his wing and made him a guest host from time to time. And then you move on into him taking over his own show and that leading up to where he is now. And, you know, it talks about a little bit of the scandals maybe that he had, but it's never a thing where there's no bias. Well, I mean, there's more of a positive bias than anything beyond that, but there's no negative slant at all. You're trying to be journalistic in it, and you're trying to tell a story without adding your own voice. But then, you know, this being a David Letterman comic book, it was pretty easy just to...
Hold that thought, CW. Okay. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment to moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Dwayne Daly from Midas Resources, March 14th, 2013. Gold opened today at $15.92.45. 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $15.20.30, a half ounce for $8.10.03, and a quarter ounce for $4.05.02. That's $16.20.30, $8.10.03, and $4.05.02.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Now there's an amazing new natural antibiotic every person must have. It's Cells Alive Silver Solution, and it destroys over 650 hard-to-kill viruses, fungus, bacteria, and much more. Cells Alive Silver Solution has no expiration date, is great for emergency kits and storage shelters, and comes in 8 or 16-ounce bottles. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Hempusa.org, 100% chemical-free superfoods and unique health products.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
America Tonight. My name is Bob Long, sitting in for Kate Delaney tonight, and we're talking about David Letterman and a great new book. It's a comic book that basically tells David's story, and the author of the book is joining us. The book is called Fame. David Letterman and C.W. Cook is the author, and it's a really neat book. I said at the top of the hour, I'm a huge fan of David Letterman, so for me to get a chance to see a PDF of this book and get to see the great work that CW and his illustrator did with this, I would highly recommend it to everybody out there. CW, where's the best place for folks to get a hold of this book? I know it's just been introduced, I believe, today or yesterday. When did it officially go on sale?
I think the official release date was Wednesday. Most comic books get released on Wednesday.
Okay.
Best place to get it would probably be, I know Amazon's always really easy to find the comic books. You just do a quick search of Fame or David Letterman, and you'd probably be able to find it that way.
Let's talk a little bit more about this relationship between Johnny Carson and David Letterman. A lot of people expected David Letterman, including David Letterman himself, to succeed Johnny Carson, but there was some maneuvering of some sort that happened behind the scenes, and at the last second, Jay Leno got the nod, and certainly that propelled David onto an entirely different path, but it's an interesting story nonetheless. I understand that in your research you found out that Johnny Carson's wish was for David Letterman to take over the show in 1992 when he retired.
That's what I found, yeah. And that's a lot of the books that have been written about it and the miniseries that came out made it seem that way also. But I noticed that, especially with the way that Letterman and Carson continued being friends, that it just seemed like that was the obvious way that Carson wanted it to go. And even appearing on his show shortly before he passed away, it just seemed like Johnny Carson was always behind David Letterman for taking over.
Let's talk a little bit more about his bypass surgery in 2000. I can't believe it was that long ago. to me, I remember that so well. And, of course, he went on to have guest hosts sitting in his chair. And I remember when he came back and he brought his doctor out and all of his nurses. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was. That's one of the things. I mean, that's something I'll always remember is just the, you know, watching the show and thinking, well, you know, Johnny, or David Letterman's not on, but it was strange to see people like Bill Cosby or Dana Carvey as the host interviewing guests and thinking, okay, well, obviously David will eventually be back, but even after, I mean, he still periodically would bring in the guest hosts just for fun.
And you also chronicle in the book the feud between Oprah Winfrey and David Letterman. Of course, in recent times, we've seen some interesting happenings on that front. They don't seem to be feuding anymore. As a matter of fact, they've appeared in a couple of Super Bowl commercials in 2007 and then again last year.
Yeah, and both of those actually do appear in the book. The Uma Oprah incident from the Academy Awards does make an appearance. It's a very quick appearance, but it does lead into their mending fences.
Tell us a little bit more about writing as a comic book writer. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you face in using this medium and some of the pros and some of the cons, so to speak. What's the most fun you have in doing a project like this, and where are some of the areas that you wish you could perhaps go a little bit deeper?
That's a great question. The most fun I have is the investigative portion of it. You know, deciphering the story, breaking it down into, you know, chunks. So from his early life to his early broadcasting to his early show, you know, you have to find a way to fit that into 22 pages, and it's a lot of massaging the stories. You know, you're not lying, you're not telling any kind of half-truths or anything like that. You're just finding a way to fit those truths into, you know, you've got 4 pages for this and 4 pages for this, and then you've got 3 pages for this, and it's just, that's a very difficult part. Now, if I had 120 pages to tell his life story in a comic book, then, you know, everything would be fleshed out in full, and nothing would have to be just, here's this quick bit about how he was in broadcasting before he was on the radio, before he had his own show, and then before he was on late night.
One thing that you point out in the book, in your research, you show everybody that, you know, David Letterman has donated literally millions of dollars to charities, set up a foundation, and has done all kinds of great work. But that's something you don't hear about. You hear about the scandals, and you hear about some of the other negative stuff. But I wasn't aware of it, to be honest with you. It's something that he certainly doesn't thump his chest about.
Yeah, and that's something that I wanted to bring to light because of that, because when I found that in my research, it was something I didn't know. And not knowing it myself and researching it, I figured, you know, how many people actually know these things? Because, like you said, he's not going out there and announcing it to the world that he sent a $2 million check to a charity. He's just letting his actions speak for themselves.
Mm. In recent years, David, like myself, I'm late in life dad, and David too, even older than I, had his first child, a son, and certainly there's also been some craziness regarding that with a possible kidnapping plot about his son. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, that was actually something that I wish I'd had more space to talk about. Obviously, his son was born in 2003, and then shortly after, I think his son was about 2 years old, there was a ransom put out on his head, and they were planning to kidnap him. And thankfully, nothing happened. The conspiracy was stopped before anything came of it. But it was an interesting time, especially for, you know, he had just come back from heart surgery and just come back from shingles, and then all these things start happening to him. And, you know, it's one of those things that had I had more space to talk about it, I could have talked more about the conspiracy. I could have talked more about the people involved. But, you just have to tell the story as it comes.
Another great factoid that you point out in the book is something about his relationship with musician Warren Zevon, who passed away a few years back of mesothelioma, which is a lung cancer. And I always noticed anytime Warren was on the show that they seemed to be quite close. And there's no question that Warren's death affected David Letterman. You could see that, but I didn't realize that they had worked together on a song.
Yeah, the song hit somebody. David Letterman actually provided vocals for it.
Wow. And David, of course, has been in a couple of movies, including the Howard Stern movie, which I love, which is called Private Parts. And he's also been in a movie that I haven't seen, which I should, Man on the Moon, which is about the great comedian Andy Kaufman, who we first saw on the TV show Taxi, and of course was quite a stand-up comedian in his day as well.
It's especially interesting to see him in the movie Man on the Moon because, you know, he was part of that Jerry Lawler fight, and it's just very strange to see him in a movie based on that actual event happening.
In your research, you know, we're always hearing rumors that NBC is going to do something. There's been one out in the last couple of weeks that they're going to take Jay Leno out in 2014 and put Jimmy Fallon in there, and they're talking about putting Howard Stern in for Jimmy Fallon. That would be interesting. Personally, I think it would, you know, nothing against Jimmy Fallon. I just don't think that NBC is going to do well putting Jimmy Fallon in that position, because I think it's going to be another Conan O'Brien, except even worse type scenario. What about David Letterman? We really don't hear about, you know, his retirement. I mean, personally, I hope he's like Paul Harvey and on the air forever.
Yeah, I do too. I know that Paul Schaefer's talking retirement, I think, in 2014, though. So it's kind of, it'd be interesting to see if Jay Leno and David Letterman both go off the air the same year.
Let's hope not, definitely. So tell us what you're working on right now. What can we expect from you in the not-too-distant future?
Well, I've done biographies on Vincent Price. That one actually came out a few years back. But I'm hoping to get to do a sequel to that just because I had so much fun doing it. I'm doing a comic book adaptation of a book based on the Beatles and their first sessions at the Abbey Road. A few more biography comics and a few fiction comics. Then I have some of my own creations that I'm working on as we speak.
CW, it's a pleasure to meet you. Everybody check out this book, Fame, David Letterman. Don't go away, everybody. I'm coming right back. This is America Tonight.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
March into big spring preparedness savings this month at BePrepared.com. Going on now. Emergency essentials and BePrepared.com save you 28% off your favorite beef and chicken combo entrees. Save 24% on number 10 cans of freeze-dried raspberries. Or save 26% on our freeze-dried strawberry slices with purchase of 12 or more. Katadyn Pocket Micro Water Filters are 27% off. Try our fruit-flavored HydroPack Combo Water Filtering Pouches. In March, buy 5 10-packs for a 50% discount. Stock up on wheat with a year's supply of grains for $70 off, only at BePrepared.com. And this month, power up with a Goal Zero Sherpa 50 solar-powered recharging kit at $110 off MSRP. And we'll throw in a free $50 emergency essentials gift card. The March sale ends March 31st at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault. 20 seed varieties for only $37.95. Tattler canning lids. Long-term storable foods as low as $69.95. And much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
We're coming at you live all across North America on great radio stations as well as via the GCN network, GCNlive.com. If you're hearing us from across the world, we actually have an international caller line for this program as well. You can find that by going to GCN Live and selecting America Tonight. You'll see that number. We also have a toll-free number for everybody here in North America, and that's 855-266-5283. My name is Bob Long, and we're talking with some great authors in this hour of the broadcast, and right now we're going to talk about the new Pope who has been elected. It's Pope Francis I, and joining us to tell us all about it is a professor of philosophy and religious thought, and author of Religions of the World, Fundamentalism, Myths, and World Religions, Niels Nielsen, Jr. Welcome to America Tonight. How you doing, Niels?
Good to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit more about your background. You went to Pepperdine University, and you got a Ph.D. from Yale in contemporary theology. You've taught at both Yale and Rice University. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days.
Well, I spend my academic time teaching at Rice University in Houston. Rice is a non-church school. It's also not having any state relations officially, so I had a kind of a neutral platform with students of all kinds of backgrounds, introducing them to the history of religion and contemporary religious problems. It was a very happy and is a very happy teaching position. But I think the choice of a new pope, I'm not a Roman Catholic, needs to be seen in its great importance. This is the last great monarchy, and the choice of a pope affects not just Roman Catholics, but all Christians, and indeed adherents of a whole variety of religions. So it's an interesting and a crucial and an exciting kind of time to try and figure out.
It certainly is, and when you go back in history, there have been a lot of popes. I mean, a lot of our listeners may be surprised by the number, but I believe, you know, it's in the 260-some-odd number category, so there have been a number of people who have been popes throughout world history.
Yeah, I think we need to remember that part of the secrecy that attends the choice of a new pope has a long tradition of an attempt to protect the liberty of the church against monarchs. And obviously there have been highs and lows in the papacy, but it's an extremely interesting and very powerful office. And now, of course, a pope can punch a button and something happens in Singapore or Alaska or South America. We see it all on television. This gives a different kind of setting, I think.
That is so true. Tell us a little bit about this man who is now Pope Francis I. He is the...
I think he is a fascinating person. I think it is a very wise choice. I think you have to say it was wise that the predecessor, Cardinal Ratzinger, and then Benedict XVI, rather than dying and spending a long time as his predecessor did, he resigned, gave way to a younger man. The new pope is not so much younger, however, and he's a very different kind of person. Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, was an academic. He spent most of his life in the Vatican. This is a man who comes from outside the Vatican, who's been a pastor and a bishop, a cardinal, in Argentina, South America, and it's a fresh voice, and we'll see what he does. But he's a competent person, certainly, with great problems.
Let's talk a little bit more about where he's from. This is the first time that we've ever seen a pope from South America, so that in itself is big news.
And a Jesuit. Our first Jesuit pope.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That surprises me. Why do you think so?
Well, it was a surprising vote. There were some anticipations. He came in second in the election in which Ratzinger was made Benedict XVI. So one might have known this was going to happen. But it wasn't fully predictable, and he has backing of his colleagues, of course, and a significant enthusiasm in the Roman Catholic world, but also there are the problems of a secular time. The Pew report shows that over 100 countries now in the world are carrying on some kind of religious persecution. Persecution in China, problems with the Muslims. It's a time when religion is powerful and alive, but under pressure that comes in on the Roman Catholic Church and on the rest of Christianity.
So true. The size and scope, I myself am a Roman Catholic. There are an awful lot of Roman Catholics in the world, but there's also a huge rise of Muslims, and that's something that's becoming
has become much more prevalent in the last decade or so, but as far as ranking religions as they go, is Catholicism, Roman Catholicism, still the largest religion in the world, or what presently is the largest religion in the world?
Yeah, I'd say over a billion, about 1.3 billion Roman Catholic Christians, about another billion non-Roman Catholic Christians. Islam is up in over a billion, but not quite as large as Christianity. Islam, what we call Mohammedanism, has a whole variety of forms, even as Christianity has a variety of forms. And some of those forms of Islam turn out to be violent. Some of them turn out to be pacific. But how the Pope relates, say, to China, where Christianity, Catholic Christianity in particular, is controlled and persecuted, how Muslims and Christians relate, we know world religions now much more than we did before. They're on our doorstep, and religion's not going out of existence. It has real dynamics. Religion can be a bad thing as well as a good thing, but a pope in Rome is right in the middle of this.
That is so true. Our telephone number, if you have a question for our very special guest, Professor Niels Nielsen, Jr. He's a professor of philosophy and religious thought and author of a book called Religions of the World, Fundamentalisms, Myths, and World Religions. Fascinating topic and great, great guest here. 855-266-5283 When we look at modern day Pope, certainly Pope John Paul was one of the most flamboyant or active. I mean, he was really the guy that brought the papacy to the people. He did an awful lot of traveling. Pope Benedict didn't do anywhere near the amount of traveling that John Paul did.
John Paul was an actor, too, you know.
I didn't know that.
A very dynamic kind of person. To his credit, I think he helped get the communists out of Poland. I had a Jesuit friend I'd visit in Poland in communist times, and Roman Catholicism was strong and dynamic. But John the 23rd, John Paul the 2nd, helped to reverse some of the Vatican II Council. Roman Catholicism had an opening to the world, and liberalism under Pope John the 23rd, under John Paul the 2nd, and under Benedict the 16th, there's been surely a conservative direction in the Vatican, and that continues under the new Pope. The Church has very serious problems, I think, with respect to how it will handle questions of sexuality, marriage, and the family. They know they have that problem. The leadership has been forced to look at it, and the present new pope is to the right rather than to the left, but I think he'd be a firm disciplinarian, and that he is a Jesuit gives him additional stature, I think.
Yeah, lots of folks don't realize how much training goes into becoming a Jesuit. I have a Jesuit priest who's a friend of mine and a great friend of my wife's. And when we come back, we'll ask our special guest a little bit more about Jesuit training and about the new Pope. It's Pope Francis the First. You're listening to America Tonight on great radio stations across North America and GCNLive.com.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-45 7-9-0-0-9. That's 877-457-9-0-0-9. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Everybody, thanks for being here. The name of the program is America Tonight. We're live all across North America, and my name is Bob Long, filling in for Kate Delaney, your regular host, who is taking some time off to pay tribute to her mom, who passed away a little while back. And I know Kate and her family were having a celebration of her mom's life back in her home area of the country. So our hearts go out to Kate and her family as they grieve at this moment. But it's a great opportunity for me to sit in here. I do a program here on the network that is about automobiles, but I'm a lifelong radio geek. I've never worked in any other field. It's both a blessing and a curse, and I love the opportunity to sit in and talk to you guys, and there's nothing like being on in the overnights. That's where all the fun people reside, and we're talking about a very important topic in this half hour of the broadcast with a very special guest. The guest name is Niels Nielsen Jr. He's a professor of philosophy and religious thought, and the author of Religions of the World, Fundamentalism, Myths, and World Religions. And he's been telling us about the election of Pope Francis the First. And before the break there, we were talking about the fact that this is the first Jesuit pope, which, again, totally blows me away. I wasn't aware of that. And knowing the Jesuit father that I know at Boston College, who's a great friend of my wife, he actually married myself and my wife in 2006 and baptized my daughter in 2010. His name is Father Tuscelli. And Niels, tell our listeners a little bit about the Jesuit training, the number of years that it takes to become a Jesuit father.
Well, it's a long training that goes on in terms of spiritual discipline. Jesuits are a counter-reformation order, they're the leading scholars, among the leading scholars. What's so interesting about this pope is he's taken the name of St. Francis. Mm-hmm. And St. Francis, of course, worked among the poor and the ill. He washed lepers. He cared for the sick. And was a very cheerful person, worked with the animals from time to time. And this is a very different mood, I think, than Benedict XVI, who was a scholar, an academic. Benedict was around Rome for a number of decades. This is a man who's been out in the field. And Roman Catholicism is growing rapidly in Asia and in Africa. Its largest body of believers is in South America. And this is a man who has a sense not only of Christianity in Europe, where it's stagnant, the growth is not large, to the United States, where it's stable but not growing. Mm-hmm. Without the Latin Americans, the Roman Catholics would be falling behind. This is a man who has a world picture, but in terms of service to humanity and service for the poor, but also a traditionalist who values his Catholic tradition. He had some rough political fights in Argentina. And that's what's so interesting, that the Pope would come out of this South American country, the country of the Peruvians. He's had to live with non-Christian regimes and be out there not simply in terms of private piety, but speaking for the church and for Christians. So he has a leadership role, and it's interesting to see how he'll try and fulfill it.
Most definitely. It's going to be very interesting. And the tradition of a pope taking a different name, is that something that has always been true throughout papal history from the first pope on, or is that a tradition that started somewhere along the way?
Yeah, a pope can set the stage for what goes on in his own religion and also in what goes on in politics, and to a certain extent, the whole cultural scene. Argentina is an interesting country, and something is happening in South America. Pentecostalism is growing very rapidly. It's a different kind of line entirely than traditional Catholicism. And Argentina is a country where most everybody is a Catholic, but only the Protestants go to church. And the Protestants make up maybe 10% of the population. So he has to deal with that kind of thing in the developing countries. And it's a different problem in the more mature democracies. But the Vatican it's pretty well agreed, has been uneven. Things have gotten out of hand there.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone is looking for a strong disciplinarian pope. And I think that he will be. Obedience is pledged to him. If our listeners want to read something positive, they can read John Allen, who does a very pro-review. It's very well informed. I regret to say that Time and Newsweek have already attacked the new pope very severely, very outspokenly.
Hmm.
So he's in the middle of controversy already.
Wow. Why is that? Why do you think that those two publications have attacked him?
Well, there's certainly some things have gotten out of hand in the Vatican. John Allen even speaks of tribalism there. But certainly the sexual scandal associated with Catholicism in the United States and in Ireland, the whole problem of sex and sexuality, the Roman Catholics have a very conservative position, but that's not the point. It's gotten out of hand, and they paid maybe $2 billion in fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope has to give some discipline there. They know that. And then the whole outreach, you know, this is a secular time, and all religions have to come into the modern world. The question is how religion comes into the modern world without losing its integrity and its message.
Mm-hmm.
So what my Catholic friends are looking for, I think very legitimately, is somebody, that's a strange way to put it, who might have an MBA, a master's degree in business. There's problems with the Vatican Bank, Pope. I think a very wise thing of Ratzinger to resign. He has a hard pacer. He's made his contribution, and the Jesuits, I think, are firm disciplinarians. At the same time, we need a missionary pope.
Mm-hmm.
That is, someone who will carry the Christian message to the developing countries. You know, Christianity's been a world religion for 2,000 years, but it's been in the Americans only a quarter of that time. The American people, I think, are a religious lot. They're a lot more practicing religionists, Catholic, Christian, Jewish, even a few Muslims. America is a very religious country compared with what's happened in Europe or
so
to
true.
China.
And, hold there.
Pope has a leadership role there for all of us.
Niels, if you can hold for one more segment, that would be great. That's going to do it for this hour of America Tonight. I'm Bob Long.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.